We're discussing the UW's sports infrastructure in the era of COVID under a new athletic director on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Chris McIntosh was named to the post in June, filling the shoes of legendary athletic director and football coach Barry Alvarez, who retired after being with the program 31 years. What do you want to ask the new athletic director? Should college athletes be paid? How should programs handle athlete protests? And what about gender equity and the standard of equality in the athletic program? It's 800-642-1234. Chris McIntosh was deputy athletic director starting in 2017. He took over as director on July 1. And as a UW student, he led the Badgers football team to 2 Rose Bowls, later played in the NFL for the Seattle Seahawks. Chris, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be with you, Kate.
You've taken over during a pandemic. So what decisions weigh heavily on you in preparation for games and especially the football season?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been an interesting summer and fall, certainly since July 1. You know, we're far more optimistic and frankly grateful that we're able to continue with our seasons this year compared to where we were, you know, a year ago. We're in a much better place. We know so much more today than we did a year ago last fall, which was really tough on our student athletes, on our staff, and on our fans. And so we're thankful today that fans can attend our events. So far they've been going very well. Our student athletes have been participating in their sports and doing so, you know, with a relatively high rate of vaccination, and we feel really happy and actually quite proud of that.
What percentage of the football team and staff has been vaccinated against COVID?
As we sit here today, we're north of 90% of our players have been vaccinated, and I believe almost, if not 100%, almost 100% of our staff.
How often are athletes and staff tested for COVID? What are the protocols there?
Yeah, unvaccinated student athletes are tested twice per week. That's consistent with it's PCR testing, consistent with NC2A guidelines, and consistent with our campus protocol. And so, that's been working well so far.
You know, another Big Ten school, Penn State, announced this week that all faculty and staff need to be vaccinated due to President Biden's mandate. Would you support that requirement at the UW?
You know, I would support the decision of our leadership. You know, we are a unit within our, obviously within the university. Our student athletes are students first, and that's our approach, and that's been our priority. And if our leadership felt it were necessary, we would be supportive of that. But you know, we've been working in partnership with campus leadership for the last over a year and a half on the issue of COVID, and been in lockstep that entire time, and we will continue to do so.
And speaking of campus leadership, Chancellor Rebecca Blank announcing this week she'll leave UW-Madison at the end of the school year to become president of Northwestern. What impact do you think this will have on the UW?
Well, it will certainly represent significant change. You know, Chancellor Blank has been a fabulous leader for our university, and more specifically, from my perspective and that of our department, for athletics. She has become very involved in college athletics, both at the Big Ten level as the chair of the Council of Presidents and Chancellors, and also at the NC2A level as a member of the Board of Governors. And it's been really exciting and rewarding to work with her on, you know, some of the most significant issues that face college athletics right now. Her leadership in Madison will be missed. She's been, as I mentioned earlier, a great partner to work with when, you know, we're dealing with some of the challenges that we've been faced with, COVID as one example, just one of many, really. And so, you know, I'll miss her. I will say I'm very happy for her because she's happy about the opportunity that she's been presented with, and it's a great honor, but she'll leave a void, and I hope that the leadership role at UW-Madison is it's a fantastic university and position, and hopefully it attracts talented candidates.
If you're just joining us, we're in conversation with Chris McIntosh, the new athletic director of UW-Madison. What questions do you have for UW's athletic director? Do you follow Badgers football? What do you think of the season so far? 800-642-1234. Joseph in Manitowoc is with us with a question. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I was just wondering, as far as equity, if there's any opportunity or if you could speak directly to giving our baseball players in the state of Wisconsin an opportunity for something to look up to, get a scholarship opportunity that maybe even half of what all the football players get. I just have never understood why we would have gotten rid of a program like that when the rest of the Big Ten schools are there. And I'm hopeful and optimistic that you see the equity concerns there as far as giving kids an opportunity to look up to something other than a football program that's sustaining 21 different programs just on the finances of football.
Joseph, thank you. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, Joseph, it's a great question, and it's one that I get quite often. It was 30 years ago that baseball along with a few other programs were discontinued during some really challenging financial times. And that's been well documented. The way I look at it or think about it going forward is first of all, I'm empathetic to those that have a great passion for that particular program. Certainly those that participated in it. We have many letter winners that I meet with and talk to that have a lot of passion for the baseball program and would like to see it returned. And I'm empathetic to their feelings around it. I have a hard time just as a former student athlete myself imagining what that must feel like. I think, the challenge we have today is, college athletics right now is at a inflection point. And there are so many issues that are being debated about college athletics. It's a time of significant instability. And our priority at the moment is to preserve and enhance the 23 sport programs that we have. That's not to say that we won't have more in the future. I'm not ruling that out, but at the moment, we need to focus on making sure that our 23 sport programs fit in a new world of college athletics with so many uncertainties on the horizon. So that's where our focus is today. But there's no telling where we might be in the future.
Well, in this new world, though, there is the legacy and the law, the civil rights law, Title IX, passed in 1972, requiring that men and women students have equitable opportunities to participate in sports. What more can the UW do to create opportunities, especially for women?
Yeah, I mean, Kate, you hit the nail on the head. We're about to celebrate the 50th year of Title IX, and really for us at Wisconsin and across the Big Ten, it's a celebration of broad-based opportunity. And Joseph, the caller, mentioned or made reference to, the financial model of our department and many, and that is, the opportunity for all, in our case, approximately 800 student athletes, largely underwritten by a football program, a distant second, a men's basketball program, and then men's hockey. And there's no secret that that is the financial model, but what's a priority for us is that opportunity for approximately, 150 other student athletes, men and women in sports that don't generate a surplus of revenue have an opportunity to gain an education at a world-class institution like Wisconsin while participating in their sport and competing at or aspiring to compete at a championship level. And that's what we've focused on. We think that's important, broad-based opportunity, certainly equitable broad-based opportunity. And I think that's one of the aspects of college athletics that has the potential to get lost in this debate as we go forward about what college athletics should be and what it, where it should go. And I think we're doing everything we can to fight for that.
Let's pause right there with UW Athletic Director Chris McIntosh. Stepped into the job July 1st. Do you think that college athletes are treated fairly? Do men's sports get too much attention? How have you been watching the athletic program? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Chris McIntosh here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the UW's athletic program with its new athletic director. Chris McIntosh is here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Looking at the conferences in NCAA Division I, in recent months, we saw Texas and Oklahoma announce their programs are transitioning from the Big 12 to the SEC. What does that move mean for the Big 10? Are you watching that? Should it expand? 800-642-1234. Athletic Director Chris McIntosh stays with us for 10 more minutes. So, Chris, the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, announces this summer that Texas and Oklahoma will be joining that. What effect could this have on college athletics and your division?
Yeah, Kate, it's a great question. I think, you know, that move is an indicator of, or one of a few indicators of just the dramatic change that is taking place in college athletics. I think it, you know, it provides an opportunity for conferences to be vocal about what they stand for and what they believe in, what college athletics should be about. And I think that's what the Big Ten has done as a result of some of the narrative and discussion about expansion. As you know, the Big Ten entered into an alliance with the ACC and the Pac-12, and you know, there will be operational or logistical opportunities there, scheduling opportunities. But I think as much as anything, it was about standing shoulder to shoulder with two other conferences that have a shared belief system, a shared priority that education should be at the primacy of what we do. And I think it's got the potential to be pretty special going forward.
Yeah, I mean, shared beliefs are one thing, but there's a ton of money on the line with television revenue and ad revenue. And one benefit of the move for the SEC is the potential for more revenue for televised games. But I was looking at, you know, according to the AP, the Big Ten produced the most in revenue in 2020, and is exploring extensions with Fox and ESPN. What do you make of those moves in light of the money made from TV?
Well, I can speak to, you know, our own department and our own model. As I mentioned, you know, earlier, you know, the model for us is that the cost of opportunity for 23 sports is borne by, you know, the revenue that's generated out of a few sports and there's no secret about that. Our financials are pretty transparent, and certainly when we had challenges like COVID, in which we weren't able to, you know, fill Camp Randall for games on Saturday, it became apparent. And so, you know, the Big Ten, as you mentioned, does benefit from a strong media partnership with Fox, and there are discussions taking place about what the future might look like for us, but that those funds, those revenues are the means of underwriting opportunity, educational and athletic opportunity for, like I mentioned, approximately 650 other student athletes in 20 sports that don't generate, you know, a financial surplus in their sport.
Well, let's take another call now. Warren is joining us from Menominee County. Hi, Warren. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I was wondering if we ever see a day where a female will have a prominent role in a college football game or eventually an NFL game.
So, and it was a little hard to hear, but when a female would have a prominent role in a football program, Warren was asking.
Yeah, Warren, I'm left to speculate a little bit about, you know, what role you might be referring to. But I will say this, you know, there wouldn't be anything preventing today a female from having a prominent role on our staff. There are certainly opportunities and you know, in our game last week in Illinois, you may have noticed there was a female who had a prominent role on the officiating crew. And I think you're seeing more and more of that. I think it's pretty exciting. I know it's something that we obviously would certainly be open to, and nothing preventing that. There is a need for more women to get exposed to and to get involved in the sport of football.
Along those lines, the language of your contract states that you need to promote gender and racial equity throughout the athletic program. And that's a revision from Barry Alvarez's contract language that just called out gender equity. What are you doing to advance racial equity under your leadership?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, we have spent a lot of time and energy with that as a focus. And, you know, you mentioned that you know, my contract reads differently than Barry's had historically. And I think that's just a sign of how far we've come and where our priorities are today, given the times we live in today. And we have spent a lot of time focusing on racial equity and social justice over the last few years. We are hiring. We've changed our approach in recruitment of staff to try to create more diverse pools of candidates. We've created and released our strategic plan. We are building out and making hires on our DEI team. And I think you're seeing some exciting opportunities around campus that focus on, you know, attracting and retaining people of color in and around not just the athletic department, but around campus. And so I'm pretty excited about where we've come, and I'm really excited about the connections that we've made with community leaders and partnerships around Madison, but not limited to that. I think will be productive going forward.
We're talking with Chris McIntosh, Athletic Director, UW-Madison. Let's land here, Chris, on the push for colleges to pay student athletes. You know, college sports is a $14 billion industry. Why shouldn't athletes get paid for rights to their name, image, and likeness?
Well, I don't think there's debate over the ability for athletes to collect revenue around their name, image, and likeness. And that was one of the big developments of this past summer. And that's happening today. As of July 1, that's permissible. We developed our own policy consistent with the direction that the NCAA gave us. And as you know, we're in a state that does not have a state law on NIL. And that allowed us the flexibility to develop a policy that, that we've been working with our student athletes on. And I think we're in a good spot. I think our student athletes are happy with the ability that they now have to go to the marketplace and to, if they choose, you know, capture opportunity around their use of their name and likeness. And so far it's been pretty exciting. I think we've had many of our student athletes take advantage of it. But you know, that development itself, name, image, and likeness, doesn't require student athletes to have an employment status as an employee. It allows them to preserve their status as a student.
And how do you feel about the employment status? Should athletes be paid?
I think our student athletes are students, and they're students first. They come to the university as students, and they participate in sport, and they pursue their passion of sport. But for decades now, our priority has been, when we're recruiting student athletes, is to graduate with a degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I think that's a model that is certainly evolving. And I think there are plenty of opportunities, like name, image, and likeness, that we've seen this summer, for it to be enhanced. But I don't think that it requires them to be employees.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Happy to. Thank you.
Chris McIntosh, Athletic Director at UW-Madison. WPR is a service of UW-Madison. Stay with us. News Update is next here on the Ideas Network.